Well, if you'll turn to Psalm 1. And I think in just a little while I'm going to be able to connect Psalm 1 to our time of worship through music. We've been trying to cover the different types of psalms that are provided for us here in the Psalter, the Psalm book, 150. Today we come to the first one. And this is how the Lord, according to His providence, has seen fit to kick off the psalms. He doesn't kick it off with one of the ones, a psalm of praise. He doesn't kick it off with a song of a psalm of confession. He chooses actually to start off the Psalter in a way that should actually be very very meaningful to us as we read this today. It's a familiar psalm to you. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thanks be to God. Father, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the book Alice in Wonderland, Alice comes to a fork in the road. And she asked the Cheshire Cat in the tree above her, who was the Cheshire Cat who was sitting in a tree. She says, "What road do I take?" The cat asks, "Well, where do you want to go?" "I don't know," Alice answered. Then said the cat, "It really doesn't matter, does it?" Well, God. You know, we ask that question in various ways as well. And today we have an opportunity to think about an answer to that. I've titled it Two Paths, One Way. There's other ways we could title this, and in one sense I want you to know that the first word of the psalm in our translation is blessed. In some translations, it would say happy. The same as with the Beatitudes. happy. Happy is the man. And in this case, we're talking about men and women. God's people, human beings made in God's image. Happy. Happy. Our happiness. Our happiness is what the Psalm, the book of the Psalter, the book of Psalms, our book of hymns to sing out of our scripture, our happiness. Blessed is the man, blessed, happy. God desires our happiness. He does. Now, he gives us the blueprint for it here. Our confession, I mean, our shorter catechism. Many of y'all, probably most of y'all, know that question and answer. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so, now it's two paths. It's one way. Jesus would later speak of this. So I'll cut to the chase quick. Jesus would later say, "Enter by the narrow gate, For the gate is wide and the gate is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But we can be happy in the Lord, even in that narrow way that is paved with difficulties. We have God is with us. We're going to look at this in three ways. I'm going to think of it according to the believer. We have in here a contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. Let's look at it in the sense of the place of the believer's life, the picture of the believer's life, and the path of the believer's life. So the place, and I'm saying when I think about place, I'm talking about in kind of a comprehensive way. Where do I live my life? I'm not so much thinking geography, but wherever we are geographically, if we're here in this place that is described here, then we will be all right. He starts it with a negative. Sometimes we have to do that with basically this the place that we're not to be. If you're going to be blessed and happy, it's going to be because you're not in this place. And that place is walking in the counsel of the wicked, walking, standing in the way of sinners, standing, sitting in the seat of scoffers. So what are we talking about here? The counsel of the wicked. How are we thinking? Where do we get our thoughts? Where do we get our wisdom from? He starts with our thinking. What do we think about? What informs our minds? Do you walk in the counsel of the wicked, or do you walk in the counsel of the godly, of the wise? He continues. Nor stands in the way of sinners. We might say that now our behavior, we've been thinking, now what is our behavior? Standing in the way of sinners. And finally, our prevailing way of life. Having a seat with the scoffers. It becomes a habit. It becomes the norm. The prevailing way of life. Sitting in the seat of scoffers. We might consider this an Old Testament version of Romans 12, 1 and 2. That part about having our life conformed to God's word. I think it's in the Phillips translation, the kind of modern English back in the day that was modern, and it's actually still very helpful. The world wants you to squeeze you into its mold. But this is telling us that is not the place of happiness. And really, when you think about that, he uses the word scoffer. When you've gone down this path, and that's where you are. You remember the Proverbs does not speak well of the scoffer. It also calls him the mocker. Because at this point in his life, he just doesn't care anymore. He's just a cynic. He just has a smart aleck remark for everything. His way has been set. Happiness is not found there. I have a quote here, the way Charles Spurgeon put it. Kind of going down this road. When men are living in sin, they go from bad to worse. At first, they merely walk in the counsel of the careless and ungodly, who forget God. The evil is rather practical than habitual. But after that, they become habituated to evil, and they stand in the way of open sinners who willfully violate God's commandments. And if let alone, they go one step further. They become themselves pestilent teachers and tempters of others. And thus they sit in the seat of scornful. They have taken their degree in vice. And as true doctors of damnation, they are installed. And I'm not going to try to go into a lot of detail. We could try to name out, and I'm sure we could list all the ways that we might do this. I think I would just say we're talking about the allurements of the world. You know, I'm going to talk about music now, but I'm going to come back in just a moment at the second part of this point. This first point will be the longest. Music, for example, is a wonderful thing. I listen to music, and for me, I listen to a lot of Christian music. I listen to Christian rock and roll. I also listen to just pop music, old. I listen to more classic music, but there's certain songs in God's providence people have written that are helpful to me, particularly Christian music, but other songs also. I don't listen to only Christian music. Music helps me. It lifts me up. But at the same time, music is something that we get it in the. You remember back in the days of the Jesus music, the song, "Why does the devil get all the good music? It's not his to have." This is a joyous thing, but it can be something that we allow to allure us. There's so many things in the world. Again, my point of bringing up music is it's a good thing. It can be used for bad purposes. There's many things like that. We know these things that can entice us. They won't bring satisfaction. They won't. These things of the world. Worldliness, it's like in Ecclesiastes, it tastes good for a while, but it's like a vapor. And again, in Ecclesiastes, we have an entire, I believe Ecclesiastes is a research paper that Solomon wrote describing it. Y'all, and he says, y'all, in my southern way of saying it, if Solomon was here preaching, I've tried it all, and I'm not happy. And in the end, he says, happiness in our work, happiness in our marriage, happiness in our labor comes from the Lord. Fear the Lord. And he says, remember your Creator in your youth. The place of the believer's life, well, if it's not in that place, then where is it? Well, it's in the law of the Lord. It says he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And if y'all look in your ESV Pew Bible, it probably says instruction at the bottom of the page for the law or instruction. It really means Torah in Hebrew. It's talking about not, you know, it includes the Ten Commandments, but it really means God's holistic word for us, for our good. It means the history. It means the law. It means the Psalms and the prayers and the songs. It means the narrative stories. We have an entire body of history, of doctrine, of the story of redemption. And when we meditate on this, then we will find happiness. And that's where I wanted to bring up our singing again. It says he delights. Delight. That's a good old word we don't use so much. There's delight. I know you out there, as we were listening and joining in our spirits, we were delighting today in praising God. We delight in the law of the Lord. We delight in the Word. For us, it's the Bible. We delight. We meditate on it. God is not dull. He wants our delight. He's not a spoil sport. He wants us to have joy. How do we have this? By meditating. Let me talk for a minute about meditating. Meditating in the old way in the Bible, when it talks about meditating, would have been a rabbi with a long beard walking around, and we would have seen his lips moving as he was meditating. We should meditate on God's Word. I bet you, at least before the days of shopping with our list on our text message, maybe nowadays you'll just leave the phone in the car and go for it, and you'll meditate on it, and you'll say something like bread, milk, bananas, eggs, and then that kind of odd cilantro. I'm trying to make some salsa. So bread, milk. You ever done that? Bread, milk, eggs, bananas, cilantro, bread, milk. You know, you're kind of saying it. You're meditating on. You're meditating on your little five list for groceries, so you don't forget them. Because you'll get all the regular ones, the bread, the milk, the bananas, and the eggs, but that cilantro, you don't get that every time. You'll forget, so you meditate on it. That's what we should do with God's Word. Meditate on it. Here's a couple of things you could try out. Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you're out there in the world, day by day, things are coming at you, that's always there for you. This is one of ours in our family. Do not fear. I'm with you. You need to remember that. I'm with you. That's a truth that you can count on. Somewhere along the way, I had 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14 put before me. Not that it isn't meant for all the people of God, but for my six boys. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Now that's for everybody. I apply it to my six boys and myself. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Find your verses. Remember them within the context from which they come. But you can take those verses and meditate on them, and you can find delight. I just thought I would share, in terms of just simply reading God's Word, we all have various Bible plans we try. A few years ago, I started doing my Bible plan as the St. James Daily Devotional Guide, in terms of just reading. This gives us several different readings each day. They're all short except one. One's a whole chapter, in the Old and the New and the Psalms. I really love this one. This one is actually it's what you would call an honest-to-goodness, Bible-believing ecumenical. It's Protestants, Catholics, and Eastern Orthodox all joined together in this group, the Fellowship of St. James, fsj.org, if you're interested. I read this, and I really enjoy it. And if I miss a day, sometimes I try to catch up, sometimes I don't. I just start on the day's readings. But meditating on God's Word. We need it. That's the place of the believer's life. God's Word. God's law for our joy. Then he gives a picture. The Bible is very good about giving us pictures. It uses imagery. We are in a day, we love images. We take pictures a lot. We take videos a lot. Everywhere. They're everywhere. And you know what? The Lord gives us. He gives us visual pictures, images, like a tree. What's the picture of the believer's life? Well, it's either flourishing or fruitless. Like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. That's a beautiful picture. Y'all know I live in Tuscaloosa. I drive here. I appreciate you allowing me to do that. I get a beautiful drive here. I look out to the left and the right and see some of these very things on my drive. I try to look and think about it and acknowledge the Lord has made all this. Of course, on my drive, we don't just get trees, we get cows and calves and all the other, these other things God made, other examples. But this is a common picture. I don't really need to say a lot about it. You know what it looks like, what a tree that's healthy or a plant that's healthier when you've planted flowers in your garden, or especially if you plant seeds that are going to grow into a vegetable or a fruit, how cool it is to watch it grow, watch it start coming out of the ground, watch it grow. We kind of know that, we understand that image. Let me put it in kind of theological terms, or in kind of like a tree planted. It's stable. It's stable. We have stability. We want to plant stability. It's planted. It's there. It's where it's going to be. It's stable. There's vitality. Streams of water. Different commentaries. Some mention like it's by the stream, and so as the stream flows, the roots get water from the stream. Others say that it's more of the idea of the stream being close by so the farmer can water it. I really don't. Either way, it's close to its source of vitality of life. So it's stable, it's vital, it's productive, yields its leaf, Yields its fruit, excuse me. Yields its fruit. It's productive. It's durable. Its leaf does not wither. Interesting. Its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. And that word is just saying, is successful in the way that God has planned out success for you. I think another psalm would help us kind of bring this point home. Psalm 92, 12 to 15 tells us something of this. The righteous flourish like the palm trees and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I remember when Richard Weiss came into our presbytery. He's the minister at Trinity in Tuscaloosa. His first time preaching at presbytery, because I was there when he first came in, he came to this psalm, and he preached it at a presbytery, and he was wanting to say to those older than him and older than me, those of you who, as R.C. Sproul likes to say, have a little snow on the roof, that we love seeing you bear fruit in old age. We should all seek that, shouldn't we? Whatever our age. But we know that the more years God gives us, then the more responsibility he also gives us to share that with those coming after us. So the picture of the believer's life. Now look, this is a psalm that gives us a composite view of how it ought to be, of the good. It gives us a portrait. The psalmist knows storms will come. The psalmist knows there are weeds that will come in this garden. We have 149 other psalms that are going to help us deal with all the storms, with the weeds, with the difficulties. There's highs and lows. And so in this case, really, it lets you see the lows by letting you see what happens to those outside of Christ ultimately. The wicked are like chaff. We have a long, wonderful, vivid picture of the righteous, and yet for the wicked, one word, chaff, that the wind drives away. For those outside of Christ, and if that's you, if you're outside of Christ today, this is your destiny. Chaff, they would shovel up or rake up, throw the wheat up in the air, it would fall, the chaff, the wind would blow away. I guess I would ask you this question. Are you in love more with your sin or with Jesus? If you love Jesus, if he is in you and with you, then you are going to grow and you're going to be firm, but planted like by streams of water and safe and secure. Your delight will be in the law of the Lord. The wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away. And so I close with the third point, the path of the believer's life. And this is where where the rubber meets the road, no pun intended, on this path. There's two final ends. What did I title it? There's two paths, one way. I alluded to it at the beginning. The wide path, that seems pretty fun when it starts, but its end is destruction. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads only to death. But there's the path of God's people. Again, remember, God doesn't... I think we've had a little taste of it this morning. And we should every morning, every Sunday morning, and I think that we do, that God wants our joy, our happiness, our delight. And then wherever we are in our place in life, in him, we can find delight and joy. Now, in this point, he flips back and he talks about the wicked. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The place we want to be is in the congregation of the righteous. God's people together, singing His praise, worshiping Him in the new heavens and the new earth, exploring and doing all the things He would call us to do, that He gives us to do forever. But it's serious. Those outside of Christ who reject the gospel, who live for themselves, who say, I can do this myself, won't be able to stand. When the righteous stand in judgment, they stand with the righteousness of Christ, robed in Christ's righteousness. God looks at us and sees the work of His Son on our behalf. You don't want to be in the day of judgment with not clothed in that righteousness. Because God doesn't grade with a curve and God doesn't sweep things under the rug. He knows the wicked will not stand, sinners will not stand, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows us. And in the Bible when it says He knows, it means He knows everything. And He loves us in Christ. There is an interesting, one of the first videos I ever saw back when YouTube first started was this little video, and it's by Penn of Penn and Teller, the illusionists and comedians. And he's just holding a video, you can see him, he's looking down at it, and he's saying, he says, look, if you, and he's actually giving Christians, he's given us a pat on the back for trying to tell other people about Psalm 1 that there's two paths but one way. Here's what he says. He says, if you believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that there is a heaven and a hell, and you do not tell me the way to heaven, then how much more could you hate me than to leave me in the dark about such news? Well, that goes in the face of everything we're told today. But he said, and it's a video, and I guess if it's still there, you can find it. If you don't tell me that, then you must hate me. Please tell me. Don't let me perish if you really believe this. So friends, that's the message. There's two paths, but there's one way. Jesus said it, I am the way and the truth and the life. And friends, before I close, I'm going to mention one little illustration here that I forgot to mention earlier. But it'll be okay to close with this. A lady, 104 years old, was asked in a little interview with her, "What's the best thing about being 104 years old?" And she said, "No peer pressure." But we have peer pressure, don't we? And we have it whatever our age. But we have Jesus. He's the way and the truth and the life. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. It begins with blessed. It ends with the word perish. There's two ways. Let's go the way of blessedness and of happiness. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You are so clear with us that the Bible, it has difficult passages. But it has enough crystal clear clarity, so we thank You for this. Thank You for Jesus, that He is the way, that You fulfilled even this psalm in Him. He's the way and the truth and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. If we are in Him, though we die, yet shall we live. We pray in His name. Amen.